Hey, I'm going to throw you a curve today because nobody knows what I'm going to do. And I know that Lewis has prepared the screen for us today, but if it's possible, I would like to just have a blank screen. As we think about and as we approach Thanksgiving, and what I'd really like to do wouldn't fit on the radio. So I can't really have you interact that much with me, but I'd love that today because we're flying towards Thanksgiving. And after that, we're going to celebrate Christmas. And today, I just want to share with you thankfulness. And this is an open Bible church. We base everything on what we do through God's holy word. That is our authority. That is our foundation. That is everything that we believe. But I want you to close it. Because the authority of God's word today is going to come from the validation of Christ living in our hearts. I want to share that with you through thanksgiving. Through thankfulness. And so I will close mine. When we were children growing up, we moved from Farmer City, Illinois to Remington, Indiana. And as a child, that was about 50 light years away from civilization and from the family that we loved. We were a poor family, and so Dad's two brothers and himself and his sister and their mother had a farm over at Hayworth, Illinois, where they had worked together to make a living for their families, and the families were expanding and growing. And so there came a time when the land that they had would not sustain the number of people that shared that wonderful place. And so my family moved to Remington, Indiana. Now, there probably were a lot of stories going around why we had to leave the country, but we moved to Remington, Indiana, and it was a two-hour drive from Remington to Hayworth, Illinois. And on Thanksgiving, that one holiday out of the year, we made sure that the family got together. And almost inevitably, they would always travel from Hayworth, Indiana to heaven. I mean, from Hayworth, Illinois to Remington, Indiana, which was heaven because it's God's country in Indiana. And so the process would begin. My mother wasn't the best housekeeper. Let's just say there was a dust bunny or two that hadn't been caged that were running around the house. And so we had to clean those things up, and we even had to wash the windows inside and out. I mean, this was a process. And that was the one time of the year, because of what was going to happen, that we as the kids didn't argue about how oppressed we were having to do these chores. And so everything would be prepared. The house would smell so good with the food, and it was time for the guests to arrive. Our brothers and sisters who were our cousins, our aunt and uncles who were our moms and dads, and we would stand at the window facing the north, because they would turn off of Route 24 to come to our house. And our noses would be pressed against the window, and long after the day and the celebration was over, the prints of our noses and our hands, the anxious expectation remained on the window, because we were excited and filled with joy that once again we were going to be together in one house. And I don't know how time flies so fast, but the time that we shared together seemed like it was just over from the time it began. But those days, as I reflect on them, and while I'm sharing these with you, I want you to reflect on your joy, your thankfulness. What's going on in your life that can that makes you anticipate this wonderful holiday that we're going to share. And by the way, I did a little research on Thanksgiving, and you know that there's only two countries that celebrate Thanksgiving? Canada and the United States. And guess who did it first? Canada. By about 400 years. Yeah. So, here we are. The first thing that I want us to contemplate is, I am thankful for hope. We live in a world where the predominant landscape is hopelessness. In our society, in the darkness that it is becoming, in the lifestyles that are lived in desperation, we find them grasping at straws that are not attached to anything. And as we contemplate the power of hope, that we know that even in our struggles and in our trials, in the times that we don't see the way out, we still know that we have hope. That there is a real thread, a real lifeline that comes from our Heavenly Father that reaches down to us, that we can grab a hold of, to know that no matter what transpires in our life with Jesus Christ, it doesn't have to destroy us. But it builds us up and it keeps us and it allows us to have the strength and the courage to get up off the ground and to move forward. I don't know if you watch the news or not. I don't watch too much of it anymore. But I see a world that is captured, enslaved in hopelessness, like there's no way out. And we, above all people, those of us who know Jesus Christ, and I'm not saying that in an exclusive way, an affluent way, or however you want, those who know Jesus Christ, no matter what happens around them, have hope. Because we know today is not the best day until Jesus comes and takes us home to be with Him. So I am thankful this week for hope. I'm thankful for joy. Not just a moment of happiness, not just what a gift might bring that makes us happy for the moment, but for true joy. I don't know about you, but on Sunday mornings, our routine is we get up at about 6 o'clock, and the whole morning is filled with the expectation of being together with family, you. And we're excited to get here. We're excited to come, and we are filled with joy that we have this opportunity that will allow us to share our lives with other people. And to know that we sit in a room where people care about us and that people that we care about. And it becomes obvious that there is a bond that happens. And again, that same bond is the common thread of hope. It's Jesus Christ. Because we have that in common. And as Jesus said, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. So the trials set before us, we see the joy beyond the trial. And we see the joy of our gathering together and the importance of the encouragement and instruction that we receive as we come together. And we're just glad to be in the presence of God's people. Understanding that in God's people, this is not a perfect walk, is it? If you needed a perfect walk, you need to get a different preacher. Because he's not perfect. But I find joy in the people that surround me. And the people that I can share my life with. That it brings me joy. Because it fills up a need in my heart. To live beyond myself and to be more than I can be by myself. And so you bring me joy. Christ brings me joy by the family that he has given to me, to bring me up and to encourage one another. The next thing I'm thankful for is peace. Again, if you've watched the news, we know there's not much peace, is there? That people are being destroyed, lives are being torn apart. People are dying by the hundreds. But yet Jesus said in his word, he says, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you. I am thankful because that peace does not depend on how much I have, how good I am, how peace-loving I am. In fact, this peace can shine the brightest in the times of the greatest conflict in the world and in our life. Because this peace is based not just in people getting along, it's based on being on the same page as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, one of my favorite Gospels, along with the other 65, Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father doing. I don't say anything that I don't hear my Father saying. And so if you are in tune with me, I obey my Father, I do what my Father wants, and I have a perfect relationship with the Father. So in all of the chaos that surrounds each and every life, I am thankful that God provides peace to guide my footsteps. The fourth thing I am thankful for is food. Food. Last night we came into the room out there with a table that couldn't hold all the food that we had. Now, here's my question, and here's why I'm thankful for food. Not because I like food, and you can tell that I do. But I like food because food isn't just those things that we take into our lives. When Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and I can't even fathom that, it says he was hungry, the greatest understatement in the Bible. The tempter came to Jesus and he said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Sounds like food to me. But Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. I am so thankful that God provides the food of encouragement in the times of hopelessness and desperation. Yes, I like physical food. I like the variety of food that we have. And I'm always impressed. And the Harvest of Talent that the Milford Christian Church used to do and for IDES, and you guys support IDES as well. The thing that they revealed to me is that there are many children across this world. In fact, the majority of children across this world, and that's where it grabs my heart, as children, that they don't get to sit down to a meal any given day. And sometimes those meals are so far apart that it might be one meal a week, just enough to barely survive. And then I come into a room, and I'm so thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the fellowship and all of that. But why am I so lucky to get to eat every day? Why am I so lucky to be in a place called America? Say what you will about America, like it or dislike it, but my question is, why is everybody trying to get here if it's such a bad place? It's because it offers us everything, every hope, every opportunity that is at the heart of every human being. And I am proud that one of the greatest foods that the United States offers, at least to some degree, is the food that lasts forever. God's holy word. The fifth thing I am thankful for is home. There is no place like home. And I believe that's a true statement. Joe and I are blessed to be able to leave Wednesday on a little mini vacation, which we do every year. And we're only going to be gone till Saturday. But about Thursday night or Friday afternoon, I'm homesick, I'm ready to be home. Because there's no place. There's no place like home. And you know, we probably don't live in the best house in the world, but it's a mansion to us. And it's not about the walls, the carpet. It's not about those things or the cats outside. It's not about all that stuff. It's about the security and the family and the people that live in it. And there are people who are left homeless today. In fact, as we drive down the streets, coming to church, going home from church, coming down Tuesday and Thursday, see people on the streets that don't have a home. And I don't know about you, but I can't pass by those people without feeling compassion for them and wonder how they are dealing with life. Home. And as much as I love the home that I leave to go on vacation and come back to, I have a home that I'm homesick for that I know very little about. That's my eternal home. And God provides that for us. Six, obvious, family. How boring and how empty would this world be without family? John and Tracy are back with us this morning. They brought this little girl, Hunter, who grew up somehow. I don't know how she happened. But she's now playing basketball at Heartland. What was it? Lincolnland. Plays basketball at Lincolnland. I watched her grow up. I remember hugging her when she was at church camp wanting to go home. And those memories, and to watch them grow and then now to see accomplishment in a whole different arena in life where she's becoming who God has created her to be. Having grown up in a home that has nurtured her and prepared her for this day. Family is so important, isn't it? And I get to come to this place. And I had a family at Darrow. I had a family at Milford. I've had a family at the Church of Christ. I had a family at Potomac. And I got a family here. And it doesn't matter where I go, God's family is my family. And I'm at home wherever I go. The seventh thing that I'm thankful for are mentors. Mentors. I was probably not the best behaved child when I was growing up. But I had mentors that have paved a path for me to follow by example, by patience, and sometimes even by correction. I'll never forget Ernestine Stegen and Blanche Olson. In the years of frogs in your pockets, snakes that you turn loose in the classroom, and all those honor things that little boys do, they made a place for the honoriest of the honorary in that group. And without, I don't know what they said when they got home, but without putting me down or any of the other kids down, they loved us, embraced us, and instilled in us a attitude of forgiveness and grace and acceptance. My high school basketball coach, one of the greatest mentors in my life outside of my father and my brother, guided me in a path of integrity. And he was challenged in that area because he wasn't able to communicate his spiritual values in a public place, the school, although it wasn't as strict as it is now. But he guided us by his example. and by teaching us and training us things that we didn't know. And not only did he do that, but he followed us after we left, which told us that we were important to him. Eighth thing that I'm thankful for is neighbors. Did you ever remember the time when a neighbor sat on a porch? And when you walked by their house, you talked to them for an hour, sometimes running into supper time when they invited you in for supper. I remember neighbors. I remember sharing together and caring about one another. We had a neighbor that had a heart attack and had to have heart surgery right through the corn harvest as it was beginning. And it was amazing as we saw every neighbor within 10 miles with all the different colored combines and corn pickers in one field, and in about 3 hours knocked out all of his harvest because they were neighbors. That's what neighbors do. They cared about each other. They took care of each other. They looked after each other. And I'm thinking that if America would become a community of neighbors, we would all be far better off. I like special events. I'm thankful for special events because it reminds us of the goodness that God has provided for us. Now, this is just me. I have four holidays that I really get into: Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, and the 4th of July, because they all have special meaning to me. Because I believe that all four of those holidays are a direct gift from God himself. And no matter what we do with those gifts, they are still a gift from him. And I just pray that I personally am worthy of the investment of these gifts that God has given to me. And then my prayer is that we all, as one people, are worthy of the gifts that God has given to us. Number 10, which is at the top of the list, is Jesus. Because without Jesus, I do not have a chance. And quite honestly, you don't either. And I don't know what it took in the heart and the mind of a creator God that made this perfect world and then filled it up with imperfect people, that he would send himself in the form of a human to make up all the deficiencies that we have. Because it says that he becomes our righteousness, and only righteousness can relate to God. And I'm pretty sure I'm not. But through Jesus Christ, I am righteous. Perfection is the standard that God requires. And it's only through Jesus Christ that I am perfect. And that's the only context I'm perfect in. But as I look and I see and I read about the life of Jesus, and I see that life of Jesus being reflected in those who love him, I find that this world would be dark indeed, would be hopeless indeed. There would be no peace. There would be no home. There would be no family. There would be no joy. There would be no hope. There'd be no neighbors. There'd really be no special events if it wasn't for Jesus. And he did it regardless of the color of your skin, the size of your body, the nationality. He did it for all people. And he included us. So this morning, in honor of the things that I'm thankful for, and I know you have a whole list of things too and could add way more to this sermon than I ever could fulfill, I want us to take a moment to pause in a prayer of thanksgiving. And we're going to do something we haven't done for a long time. We're going to share the Lord's Prayer together, the model prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.